So good morning, everyone. We kind of tussled who should go first, so I guess I'm going first. So we're really excited to be here and thankful for the opportunity to be a part of the Blessed Life series to talk a little bit about a topic that's really close to our hearts, giving and finance. It is a journey that God has taken us on and continues to walk with us today. And we're going to share a little bit about that, how he's grown us and how he continues to grow us and refine our hearts. There are a few themes that have come up as we've gone through this journey, and we'll focus a little bit as we talk today on those. The first is ownership, so understanding and believing God as our provider, the power of money, and cheerful giving. And stewardship will be woven throughout that, throughout these themes as we talk through them. So an area that we really needed to settle in our hearts early on was a notion of ownership and who our provider is. In Psalm 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." It's such a simple yet powerful verse. It reminds us whose we are. Personally, for me, this verse brought up a lot of questions in the context, especially of giving and finance. What would our lives look like if we truly believed that everything in our life was the Lord's? Would we begin to look at life differently? Would we make decisions differently? Would we be more diligent with our time, energy, and finances? If the earth and everything in it is the Lord's and we are stewards of what he has given us, how come it does not always jive so well in our hearts? Have we truly settled in our hearts who's the owner of our resources? In Deuteronomy 8:17-18, it states, "You may say to yourself, my power and the truth of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." This is something Justin and I have had to wrestle with. It is an area that God continues to sharpen us in and continue to refine us in. A few years back, we attended a conference with Justin's family's church in Edmonton. We were really not planning to attend the conference. In fact, the only reason we were going was because Justin's dad needed a ride to Edmonton. We had no interest or investment in the sessions other than to spend time with family. In one of the sessions that we sat in on, they collected an offering and had mentioned that the church had not raised enough money to pay for the conference. So Justin and I looked at each other and we were like, oh, maybe we should give something. So we decided to give a small donation. However, we both felt a little bit of a tug in our heart. We knew this was God, so we decided to ask him, one, should we be giving? And two, how much? We both felt that it should be a little more, so we decided to double our offering, which we thought, this is pretty good. You know, we don't really go to this church, so we thought we were being generous. However, we still felt that tug in our heart. It's one of those tugs where you know God wants to say something, but you really don't want to hear it. So we asked again, okay, God, what is it that you're telling us? What is it that you really want us to give? And we both felt it was significantly more than our original number, a number that really was outrageous to us. When God gave us both the same number, we knew he was prompting us to give a much larger amount, even though we were reluctant to. It was such a valuable lesson for us both. I think this is something that's been continuous in our life. We may never see the fruits of that offering. However, that wasn't the point. God was dealing with our hearts and our attitude, with the attitude of control and withholding, because it didn't fit into what we thought it should. Although it may not have been the church we are part of, it is still his kingdom. And even more so, it was not so much about the church, but it was giving to honor him. It is an area that God has really convicted us in. His desire is to release us from the things that hinder us to give freely. Recognizing that God owns everything has helped us to understand more and more that we are managers or stewards acting on his behalf. With stewardship comes responsibility and accountability, which has been an important part of the maturing process and really continues to be so in our journey.
So as Kieran mentioned, dealing with this question of ownership was kind of foundational at the start of our journey, and something that God has dealt with and is continuing to deal with as we continue on our journey. Everything that we mentioned to you today is not something that, you know, we had a revelation on and we kind of have it resolved, but it's something that God is continually drawing us deeper into because it's all about the relationship we have with him. So, you know, once God was kind of dealing with this issue of ownership with us, the question I had to ask myself was, who was the source of my provision? And I believe for the longest time that I was a source of my provision, that I, you know, got my education, I got my job, you know, here I was working hard, I was earning my money. So it was a difficult journey for me, and I'll speak as a man. You know, I had a sense of provision and providing for my family, so I definitely walked with the sense that I was going to be the source of my provision. But God was trying to show me that he was the source of my provision. And it's something that has taken a little bit of time for me to kind of settle into my heart, but you know, God has taken me, I guess, on a journey of that. So God, throughout the journey of this, God never really talked to me about the principles of giving or kind of the habits in which I was giving, but he was always calling me deeper into my heart to explore my heart and to see, as Brant said, you know, who do you really trust for your provision? So it wasn't until we resolved in our hearts who the true owner of our finances were that we could fully step into our roles as stewards. So as Brant kind of mentioned, a steward is simply someone who manages something on behalf of someone else. So if this is really God's, if he owns everything and we are his stewards, how are we to manage it? So that doesn't give us the right to just say, you know, okay, God owns it, so I can just kind of be irresponsible and I can just deal with it. There's still a sense in a steward's heart of accountability, ownership, and wisdom as we seek God's heart in managing all of his resources and finances. So stewardship to us has been kind of moving forward towards this direction of understanding that everything on this earth belongs to God. And thus, everything that we financially receive into our home and into our possession is from God and belongs to him. So we as a family have decided to manage and first express our gratitude to God for his provision in our life by tithing 10% on what we have before we give anything else, and still seeking his heart in how to handle the remaining 90%. So it's not just, it used to be just a kind of a routine, okay, I give my 10%, I've earned my money, here's my 10%, God, now I get to do what I want with the 90%. But it's been a sense of everything is his, even the 90%. And we consider ourselves very grateful that God has given us that 100%. And the 90% is a generous gift of his offering that we choose to seek his heart in how we manage it.
So in last week's service, we learned there are 2,048 verses in Bible that deal with stewardship and opportunity around money and finance. If everything is his, why would he emphasize this area through so many verses? I believe it's because he knows what it can do in our lives if we let money or finances lead our life instead of God. We begin to serve it rather than serving God. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires and plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." This is a warning given to us on the power money has over our lives if we begin to serve it rather than God. Being rich is not a bad thing. However, when it starts to rule us, we can be enslaved by it. It is what begins to fill us as opposed to God. I think I shared this story previously. Oh, in foundations, I think. I remember when I graduated from university and got my first professional job. All of a sudden, my life shifted from a student budget to more income coming in, which I was super happy about. I always had faith that God was going to provide in my life. However, when I started to make more money, over time, I started to see how it seeped into my life. I started to see a shift from really seeing God as my provider and now seeing myself as a provider and desiring to acquire more and more things. This is an area we both started to wrestle with, especially as we started to live out the mentality of keeping up with the Joneses. So we wanted to get more things, have nice things. And God was really teaching us there's nothing wrong with money or to have nice things. However, when it starts to rule over your life, where you are serving it rather than God, it can become dangerous and begin to allow things like envy, comparison, and greed to enter into our hearts, which is really not life-giving. When money is ruling our lives, it takes the place of God, making it harder to be in full relationship with him because something else is ruling our hearts. The love of money may fill us for a period of time. However, it will never transform us fully as the way God's love can. It is for these reasons that God warns us against the love of money, really for the benefit of us, so that we're not entrapped and so that we can be free. It's something that both of us have really, I think, taken to heart.
So the love of money is something that seemingly was a big foundation in my life growing up. So growing up, I grew up in a very cultural and family environment that placed a lot of emphasis on financial success, performance, and status. So early on, I grew up understanding that the obtainment of wealth and success was key in defining who I was as a person. So I began to chase a certain type of education, a certain type of career. I really desired a lot of wealth, and it was kind of the driving force behind my life. So one time God, you know, in my early 20s, as I began to kind of pursue God a little bit more, this verse came to mind, and it's Matthew 6:21. So it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So my treasure was in being validated through money and my financial success. So I came to realize through this stage in my life that God wasn't just concerned about the things that I had, but he was looking at my heart. And he really wanted himself to be able to define me. So I had believed a lie that money and possessions had the power to provide me security, validation, and significance. So this was the start of kind of the journey of where God began to validate my identity and my value and worth outside of those things and in the context of my relationship with him. And so it's a journey that's ongoing. So one of the things Brent mentioned, and I don't think it's by any mistake that we've been talking about the Father heart, and a lot of us have been on this journey of the heart of the Father. And I cannot describe my story with finances and my journey of all of this outside of the context of the love of a father. And my love of money was, I'll call it a big boulder in my stream of understanding what true freedom was and to experience the love. And I've only recently come to see that the reason I was so driven by all of this was based on, you know, the environment that I grew up in, but I really wanted to make my father proud of me. So I began to see those things, I began to chase those things, and it was in the context of God just wooing me and loving me that he began to slowly take away those desires and show me that he wanted to validate me, that he wanted to be my source of love. I can genuinely say that I've never felt so free in this area as I have, and I didn't actually... You know, when you grow up in an environment like that, your whole foundation, everything you believe is painted by the sense of, okay, I have to obtain, and success is driven by what I do and what I have. And I couldn't understand a life. You know, I used to think of people who were, you know, all kind of lovey as, oh, they're all really mystical, and I'm just, you know, I'm not like that at all, right? Like, I used to think it was a little odd. I couldn't understand it. And, you know, I just want to highlight the importance of the context of allowing God into that and allowing him to love me. So I think I'm digressing a little bit here. So another kind of key area, or just a little example of God's interest in my heart, was in the area of tithing for me. So, you know, I had kind of grown up over time. I'd established a very consistent foundation for tithing. So tithing is, you know, the 10% of my income. And I was very diligent with that process. And the foundation was very important for me to have developed early on in my days, because it actually, tithing weeded out selfishness and greed in my life. And it was actually a method that God used to guard my heart from the love of money. So over the years, I said, okay, you know what? I've got this down pat. I'm consistently tithing. I'm consistently giving. And then one day in church, God threw up the verse, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7. And it said, each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not out of regret or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I'd heard this verse many times in the past, and that whole cheerful giver piece just kind of, you know, went over my head, because it didn't really resonate. But for some reason that day in church, it just knocked me upside the head. And I said, you know what, God, I've been so faithful and so diligent in my tithing, but there's not an ounce of cheer or happiness when I give. I didn't have any sense of cheerfulness in giving. And I said, this is again for those people who are just happy all the time and love to give. So you know, this was the start of God telling me that, you know, that the action of tithing was very important. It was actually very foundational, but that he was saying that giving is a matter of the heart, and that he was very concerned with my heart. So it's just another level of him drawing me deeper into dealing with my attitude and my intentions about finances. And it really was a matter of trust and how much I trusted God.
So to wrap things up, this is just a bit of our walk in the area of giving and finances. It really hasn't been a perfect journey. We continue to be refined as we have learned. He doesn't want us to just give out of obligation and guilt. We feel the notion of giving has been designed for us to set us free and to make our hearts whole. Justin and I bring all of our finances to God, as he mentioned, and we ask him to reveal to us how to use it, whether it is giving to a cause, when we make a purchase, investing our finances, even if we give to others. Sometimes it can take time, and sometimes it's frustrating to do this because we may miss an opportunity. But we feel like this is such a strong point in our life, and we see the fruits of it because God's really allowing us to be more and more free and helping us to understand what it means to be a steward in his finances. And we feel really blessed in the area of finances, which we are completely grateful for. However, it is a bonus in comparison to what God has done in our hearts. For us, it's like an adventure. God is always teaching us something along the way about ourselves. It forces us to look at areas in our lives that we are not perhaps free or fully whole, whether it's control, you know, envy, comparison, greed, whatever it may be. It builds our faith to see God come through, and it allows us to really trust him as we see our finances as not ours but his. If this is an area that you are growing in, we really ask that you ask God, what does this look like in my life? One of the most beautiful things of our relationship with God is that if we bring something before him, he will answer. He will show you how you are to be his money manager. You know, this morning when we were worshiping and singing, I think one of the things that really stood out to me was just a reminder that both Justin and I think it was 14 years ago, we accepted, Justin rededicated his life, I accepted Jesus in my heart. And I think something that we really felt strongly was, we don't want to live a mediocre life. We want to push through. We really want to be challenged in the things that God has done for us. And this is an area, this is one aspect of our life that God has really, really allowed us to grow in. But there's several others. You know, I feel that God has just really given us so much that why wouldn't we want to give to him? That's something that has been on our hearts, is that he's given us, you know, freedom in a lot of things that we really have, you know, not been whole in. We feel totally, completely, and full, and we trust him in what he has for us. And it's not always easy. It's hard. Sometimes we kind of do a bit of a double take and say, is this really what we should be doing? But if we truly trust him, this is the walk we're on. And so I really encourage you in that. Pastor Brian asked today, what are you grateful for? And I'm really grateful that I have a partner who is just really focused on that. I've seen Justin grow and just really just be after God's heart. And I see him transformed fully, not just in the area of finances, but in the areas of his life where he knows that that's the freedom that he really desires and craves, because that's the only thing that can fill us. And so I urge you, I think that if God is nudging you on something, not just in finance, whatever it may be, maybe it's a time to listen to him. And you may not want to face it, but God doesn't always bring those things up. He doesn't bring it for his benefit. It's for your benefit. It allows you to be whole. And I think that's something that really has been on our hearts as we were praying and thinking about what it is we wanted to share today.
So in conclusion, and just to reiterate what Karen said, we want to encourage you today to seek God in the area of your finances and what this looks like for you. So we've shared our journey, and our journey is obviously indicative of how we've grown up and our environment and what God wants to specifically put his finger on for our lives. But your journey is not going to necessarily look the same. So that's why it's critical and important that you invite God into this journey. And I think his desire for all of us today is that he would be able to expose his heart as a loving father, that he would be able to demystify some of the lies that maybe some of us have believed, or that I definitely had believed, and to show up and kind of just show us his heart as a father. So we thank you guys for listening to us, and yeah, that's it.